God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, friends far and wide. This evening, Visible is hovering in the saucer pod above the European continent, awaiting the changes that are certain to come, but not everywhere in the same manner. And that, my friends, is key. That is key to a great many things, because changes are coming to everyone, but not in the same manner. Not in the same manner. As I've been at pains to state on multiple occasions, the change is external. The ones that most of us will notice first are going to be matched up with, and in some cases exceeded by, the changes within. Don't let them sneak up on you. Prepare yourself. I had wanted to give certain instructions concerning meditation at a location prior to my resuscitation back into the rarefied hermetic seclusion and previous collusion between myself and my invisible friends, but alas, it was not to be, so I'll talk a little about that this evening. It is my considered opinion, which means I've considered it, that an important point. Yes, that's an important point. It's my considered opinion that one must engage in a degree of self-inquiry prior to embarking on a course of meditation. If you're just going to dabble, it doesn't matter, because dabbling doesn't amount to anything, and then it doesn't matter what you engage in. But if you're serious, it's of great help to study yourself and determine the sort of person you are before you become involved. This applies to forms of yoga, forms of martial arts, forms of music, and attendant instruments, professions, what have you. The type of person you are is more naturally inclined to specific types and things, and finding out what they are will make everything you give your time and attention to easier. If you're lucky enough to find a gifted and inspired palmist or astrologer, they can tell you all about where your talents lie, and also what sort of a person you are. I tend to believe that those in the Indian traditions often prove to be more generally capable, but you can find good ones almost anywhere, and sometimes nowhere, no matter how hard you look. Then you must keep trying. In any case, not having a gifted palmist or astrologer here in the studio, and not having your palm print available, as well as not even knowing whose hand we're talking about, I thought I would mention a few things that might help you divine your best course, so that you can employ your best intention. Ask yourself, am I reflective or am I active? Am I recessive or am I aggressive? Am I visually or audibly aroused? Am I left brain or right brain? This generally means that you're the opposite brain of the hand you normally use. There are exceptions, but not often. Well, that's why they call them exceptions, isn't it? We're different types of people, and different forms of meditation apply. Some are best suited to visualizing something, a symbol, a face, a scene, populated or unpopulated, something visual. Some are best suited to meditate on the brimming void. Some are attuned to the use of sound, whether that means employing a chant or having certain sounds playing while engaged in meditation. Some gain deeper harmony and resonance indoors, and some outdoors. Some enjoy walking meditation. I'm not a route planner or uniform consultant. My job is to present possibilities and occasionally arguments for the mind's dialogue with the heart, or vice versa. It does matter which is initiating the dialogue. Some of us are more heart-centric and some more mind-centric. Try not to be overly influenced by those who make hard and fast judgments about how it really is. Also, avoid sweeping generalizations. In this time, there are far too many experts with amazingly little actual experience. Trust but verify. I was recently in a situation where I had to do this. I was being intuitively nagged about something, and at a loss as how to make it fully reveal itself. A lot was riding on my being able to confirm my suspicions. I took a radical action, nowhere near as radical as may have been presented, depending on who you talk to. That's actually irrelevant in the long run. What is relevant is that it led directly to the revelation I was seeking, and what I discovered was dramatically greater than I had even expected. Trust but verify. And don't count the cost, because not doing so can lead to far greater costs over the long run. It's not just yourself you have to consider, and that is true far more often than we might imagine. Everything we say and do affects everyone we're connected to, one way or the other. Everything we say and do is a new road that opens up upon the road we're already on. Most things do not individually affect our road in a dramatic fashion, unless what we say or do is a dramatic departure from what we usually say or do, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. But each little act and word is part of an accumulation that can, in time, gradually alter our path so that seen over the long procession, there can be a wide bend away from the course of our original direction. This is what we don't notice as we go through life. We don't notice the small compromises with circumstance and environment, the deals we cut with friends and associates in order to have relationships and to feed the identity that we imagine to be us. Everyone knows the sensation of looking back in time and wondering how we got to the point that we were looking back from. Sometimes it's in amazement. I believe my case to be an example of that. Sometimes it's with great regret, and sometimes it is with confusion. Very often things don't make sense to people. They can't find the point where it all changed on them. Often enough, it is not a point but a process. It is the aggregate of many points of relative light and darkness with an emphasis on one or the other. This accounts for being able to see and possibly to understand, as well as not being able to see much of anything and understanding little. It doesn't stay like that. As one ages, or as the result of trauma, there does come a time when no matter what course one has taken, the witness comes forth and reveals to the soul and attendant servants, the personality, the mind, the heart, just what sort of music they made in their passage through this life, as a combo. Classical, jazz, blues, mariachi, country western. Did love rule the music? Or was it just only so much self-indulgent math? Was it ruthless, dull and uninspired, filled with hungers unfulfilled until perversion took a hand, finding the weakest link in the chain? Did the love of power over the power of love? Did love retreat, the unwanted guest? Did objects and possessions drain away one's ration of love until there was nothing left for anyone else? These are the things the heart and mind should be concerned with. The heart and mind should relentlessly question the actions and directions that are impressed upon them from the outside and according to the central authority, from the inside as well. The thing is to cast out all the extraneous voices until only one remains. You can achieve that by casting all thought out of your mind until nothing remains. The mind is an airport. Thoughts, which are planes, arrive from almost anywhere. They take off in the direction they are sent in. They have passengers in them, which are the expanded details of the thoughts, which are the planes that came from almost anywhere. There are whole fleets of planes set out from agenda centers, whose job is to program the air traffic controllers of whatever mind or airports they land in. There are fleets of planes that come out of the inner planes that represent the will of the entrenched darkness that has come to reside in those locations since shortly after the last avatar swept the planes clean. I don't think I need to go on ad infinitum about this. Any thinking person who has taken the trouble to empty their mind, until they can think, can extrapolate out upon the meaning of what is implied here. The heart is responsible for many of the thoughts that rise from below the surface. There are several levels to the heart, and some of them are not very nice places. Until the heart has been purified by selfless affection for the divine, it is prey to all sorts of selfish ambitions and coveting intrigues, which appear normal and natural to the compromised mind. Neither the heart nor the mind analyzes itself objectively until the personality is capable of standing apart from the cloud cover of attractions and fascinations. They operate like an intoxicating gas. We're all familiar with being under the influence of attractions and desires, and also familiar with the feelings that follow once the intoxication has passed. We wonder how we could have been deceived the way we were. We wonder how we could have acted as we did. We wonder at the cost incurred in the process of being underwater in a fantastic tropical dreamscape that no longer looks like the paradise it appeared to be, but turned out to be nothing more than trick mirrors and stage lighting. What is strange is the disconnect we have in the aftermath. We know something went wrong, but we've got rationalizations that permit us to believe that it was just one of those things, so we go right back to it again. In many cases, people will do this sort of thing their whole life long. They will go back to the well of dreams over and over with the same mixed, indifferent, or negative results and consistently lean back into the armchair of Hope Springs Eternal to plot once again. It's a mystery is what it is. It's playing in surround sound and CinemaScope everywhere in the world around you. It's a hypnotic is what it is. And the same force that creates hallucinations is the same force that creates irrationalizations. It's the same force that inspires the return to the vomit, which the Bible talks about. It's the same force that crushes the pearls under the feet of the swine. It's the same force that makes your mind your enemy instead of your friend. It's what maintains the integrity of the false world we move through and blinds our eyes to the real world that is possible for us. Not a moment goes by in our days when we are not, to some degree, influenced by the negative side of the equation. Unless we're being influenced by the positive side of the equation. In times of darkness, the negative side of the equation is stronger, and it requires a consistent effort by the heart and the mind to attract the good offices of the positive side. Recently, certain portals have opened from other planes of being, and celestial influences are being made available to those in a position to take advantage of them. For many, these influences simply bounce off due to negative polarization. Certainly, the force of these celestial forces would wear away the negative polarity like water will wear away a stone, but it can take a long time. You have to be reaching out to grasp the hand that is reaching out for you. If you are not, you are dancing with a time factor in a terminal game of musical chairs. I have to talk around things, though a lot of this should be quite plain. The question is, if some of it is plain and some of it is circuitous or convoluted, but comes around after a certain amount of conscious rumination, then why? Why do the questions and uncertainty still continue for so many people? I'm not mentioning this as if anything I have to say should have some sort of instantaneous effect upon the person listening to it. What I'm saying is that the universe is saying the same thing internally to every living being capable of comprehending it, and has about as much effect as all the words and teachings coming from all the locations presently engaged in bringing it out. Some are awakened and some are awakening, and some are merrily row their boat down the river of dreams. Each of us is dealing with some degree of negative pull, some degree of inhabiting presence that works in all things contrary to our own best interests. We can neutralize this force by expelling all thought until none remains, and doing it often and consistently enough so that you've made it clear who is the master in your house. You are always stronger. Never think otherwise. Here is one of the fundamental deceptions of existence, that the force of evil is stronger than any one individual. This is echoed and amplified by the power of appearances of evil outside of you. The brawny strength of undisciplined beasts walking around as men. The armed and uninformed agents of the temporal realm. The powerful governments that order them around. And all the insulated suits that wield the pens that control the movements and conditions of you and the people around you. If you control this force within you, you are in command of all the seeming forces outside of you. If you control the beast within, no beast without can harm you unless permission is given from on high. And then, that is only for the purposes of demonstration, as sometimes happens when, for whatever reason, it happens. There are powerful and profound concepts when taken as literal truth and implanted and impressed upon the deeper structure of our being. They resonate with force. It swiftly repels all negative potential in all possible circumstances. One can spend their life toying with concepts so they can employ them. People can speculate or they can activate. People can talk or they can do. People can go along with a program or they can step out of a program by any means necessary so long as the desired effect is accomplished. No real injury is ever committed if one's intentions are a greater freedom for all. Life is a game whose purpose is to ensnare. Once the basic principle of existence is grasped, once the essential understanding has taken root in a person, they know what they are up against. It can come in 10,000 forms and employ endless strategies, but it's always the same thing coming from another angle. The game is afoot. Step away from the board. Have no price and no expectations. Have no investment in anything exterior to you. Great wealth, power, and position can come to anyone. It has been showered on very good people as well as on very bad people. In times of darkness, the tendency with good people has become corrupted, and the tendency with bad people is to get worse. This does not mean that it will happen to you if you are master within. Take command of it within, and it will have no power over you on the outside. The outside is only a projection of the inside. The outside is only a projection of the inside. The outside is an extension of the inside, and the perception of what is taking place on the inside is based on the disposition of the plot maker within. In any case, my friends, we're getting near the end of another broadcast. It's our hope, speaking for myself and my invisible friends, that you will profit somehow from my poor efforts to be useful, and even more so from the efforts of the one within. Whose chief interest is in teaching you how to make the mind your friend? If you can make the mind your friend, this guy is not only the limit, but the destination too. You see, your mind is a flying carpet that the stories tell about. Your mind is a flying saucer. Not only is it a vehicle of transport, but can attract you, to you, anything you need or desire, so long as the quality of your desire meets certain criteria. It helps immensely if you have a purified will. That means your will is not separate from the divine will, by way of wanting anything outside of the awesome opportunity to channel the divine will's effort to provide you with every good thing once certain understandings are in place. The whole point of unifying with the divine is to make it possible for the divine to not only become the supreme enjoyer within you, but also to set you free from all the limitations that presently assail you. It's not what many people think, giving up all the supposed good things in life for an empty existence of denial and frugal pursuit. Those appearing to live in such a manner are experiencing something beyond the imagining of ordinary mortals. Accent on mortals. Okay, my friends, that's going to have to do it. I'll see you next week if there is one. Please fold up your chairs when you leave the hall. And mind how you go. That said, Hare Krishna, aloha, and haru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.